This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening.
So no, I do not believe that health care is a basic right.
Folks, you get to ask the questions, and I get to answer them.
Yes, so answer them.
Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care.
When are you going to decide to be an American and not a politician?
Around the nation, the emerging health care bill is having about as troubled a birth as Obamacare did back in 2010. The lawmaker town meeting has become a tense forum for airing fears and grievances in every quarter of the nation about what's in the bill and what was lost from Obamacare. It's a nationwide phenomenon, and we are going to give you 3 points on the national map to visit.
I was reporting from Cedar Rapids in Iowa.
I was in Willingboro, New Jersey.
Boise, Idaho.
That's Katarina Sestarek, Eastern Iowa reporter for Iowa Public Radio, John O'Connor, correspondent for WNYC, and Frankie Barnhill, reporter for Boise State Public Radio. John followed GOP Representative Tim MacArthur. Katarina witnessed the grilling of Representative Rod Blum. And Frankie watched as Representative Raul Labrador tried to settle his constituents down in a community just outside of Boise.
So actually was in a suburb of Boise, Meridian, which is a Republican district. And Congressman Raul Labrador definitely has, you know, a lot of ears here. He is in the Freedom Caucus, and he is the only of Idaho's 4 delegates who have held a town hall since the election. But this was a town hall in which there were a lot of people who attended who do not like Raul Labrador and do not like where the Trump administration has gone. And he defended himself. He defended, to a degree, the Trump administration, to loud boos when he was talking about a number of issues, especially around health care and Russia investigations. It was a very ruckus, loud, full event that I attended.
And was there specific demands about health care, specific issues about health care that people told their own stories about?
Yeah, there were a lot of stories, especially Idaho was a state as a Republican stronghold that never expanded Medicaid under Obamacare. And that has left a lot of people, estimated about 78,000 Idahoans, without coverage. They make too much to get the subsidy, but then they also don't make enough to qualify for Medicaid. And so they're left in this gap population. And so a lot of them were there, you know, sharing stories about emergency visits and people they've lost because they didn't have coverage, or people who've suffered in their families who didn't have coverage. And Congressman Labrador, you know, listened to the stories, but every time would say, "Now you're not going to agree with me," and then would launch into his reasoning why he thinks Obamacare should be completely dismantled, why he doesn't think Medicaid should be expanded. And people did not like those answers for the most part.
Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care.
Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care. You got to give Labrador credit. I mean, he really tried to hold his own here.
So no, I do not believe that health care is a basic right. When something is a right, and I think you described it in your question, is something that must be provided by the government.
All right, so his difference of opinion was not appreciated there by the audience. Describe a little bit about this event and where it was.
It was in a large auditorium in a middle school in a suburb of Boise. And yeah, people were there. I think one thing that's definitely happened since the election is that the Democratic base in Idaho, which by all measure, you know, doesn't have that much power, certainly, but people have really become agitated. And that room was almost packed. I think it held about 800 people at least. And he's never seen a town hall like this since his election. He was part of the Tea Party wave in 2010. It was a very long night. He stayed longer than the event was planned and answered every single question, which I think people had to give him credit for.
All right, let's move to the heartland and listen to Representative Rod Blum.
If you're currently getting your health insurance through Medicaid, nothing's going to change.
Katarina, he's trying to reassure people there in Cedar Rapids, and he didn't really succeed. Tell me about the event.
Right. So there were over 1,000 people packed into a gym at a community college, and a lot of questions focused on healthcare. And this was sort of a pattern that was repeated multiple times. He listed certain aspects of health insurance and would say, if this is what your health insurance is, nothing's going to change. And people really pushed back on that. They were not having it. A few of the questioners got up there and essentially read specific aspects of the bill to him to show him that some things could change under the bill that was passed in the House. So people were not happy with his assessment of what the bill does.
I would have thought somewhere along the line, somebody would have said that when you impact kids with special needs, we would have thought that maybe we shouldn't be doing that. And so I'm just trying to fathom where that motivation comes from.
Good question.
Under the American Health Care Bill, Adam here will not be negatively impacted under this bill.
In my book, we should never, ever cut a dollar to somebody like Adam, ever. And I fight.
Now, Katarina, was there good knowledge, high-quality knowledge of what the bill contains? There's a lot of fear there. He's trying to reassure people with facts, and of course, it's not the law of the land yet, so it's a difficult conversation to have. But did the audience have a sophisticated knowledge of this health care bill?
They did seem to have a pretty sophisticated knowledge of it. In that clip you just played, the man had his son with him who has a disability, and he was just upset because he felt that the Medicaid benefits that his son received could be rolled back potentially under this bill. And so a lot of people were asking about that. They were telling specific stories about their lives related to health care, and they were not happy with Congressman Blum's answers.
Well, Frank and Katarina, you've given us a really strong visual sense of two very tense events with congresspeople who are very directly involved in making this health care bill. Let's go to New Jersey, where we discover, not terribly surprisingly, that the gloves were off.
Is rape considered a pre-existing condition under your amendment? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? One word, please. One word, please.
Folks, you get to ask the questions, okay, and I get to answer them.
Yes, so answer them. So answer them.
I will.
So, John, is that fairly characteristic of what you observed?
Absolutely. It was as angry a room as I've ever covered during my time as a reporter. Some context that Tom MacArthur is a moderate Republican who basically revived the American Health Care Act when it looked like it was dead. He started talking with conservative members of the House and brokered a compromise. And so folks at this meeting in a Democratic lave in a Republican district really wanted to give him a piece of their mind.
And he tries, again, to reassure and remind people, as you've said, that he's the guy who got people to agree, to really think about actual health care and not just repealing Obamacare. Listen.
Single payer, Medicare for all, means that there's only one party left who gets to decide what doctors get paid. And it works in other small countries, not in countries of this size.
It's so astounding, John, that we're having the discussion of single payer. That's back in the 90s.
Well, I think politically, a lot of folks feel that the backlash to what Republicans are talking about is there'll be a stronger push among Democrats for single payer if they take control of Congress or the presidency again. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, and the push for single payer is definitely going to be back if Democrats take control.
So Frankie Barnhill in Idaho, did other headlines in the news about the Trump administration make it into your meeting?
Yeah, the Russia investigation was definitely a high point of the entire town hall. People pushing Congressman Labrador repeatedly on it, him exhaustively saying, I've already answered this question, I've already answered this question. In general, there was a lot of ideological challenging back and forth. Since he is a very conservative Tea Party Freedom Caucus member of the House, you know, it was a little bit of lessons about what, you know, he thinks rights are, as he mentioned about healthcare not being a basic right and people not being satisfied with those answers at all.
Katarina Sestarek, how about you? The general headlines in the Trump administration, did they make it into this meeting?
Investigations of collusion with Russia were definitely another thing that people were angry about. The meeting I attended occurred just a couple of hours after FBI Director James Comey was fired by Trump, and that definitely came up. People wanted Congressman Blum to commit to hiring a special prosecutor to look into potential ties between Russia and the Trump campaign, and he said he would not commit to that at this time. He also said that there's no evidence of collusion. People did not want to hear that.
Well, I don't have to ask you this question, John, about New Jersey.
We need an independent prosecutor. We need a bipartisan select committee to investigate this. When are you going to open your eyes? We all see it. You don't see what's going on? You don't see it? When are you going to decide to be an American and not a politician?
So, John, it was certainly a relief for that constituent to say that, but is this more than just kind of talk radio?
I think so. I was a little surprised by the depth of the anger and discontent about the Russia issue from the folks in the room. I mean, as angry as people were about healthcare, they were just as angry about Republicans in Congress seemingly turning a blind eye to what they felt, you know, at least unanswered questions with the president's connection, campaign connections between Russia and the president's campaign. So, yeah, I think it's more than talk radio. I think this is something that voters, you know, will take with them when they step into a ballot box.
Three very vivid windows on what's going on in America right now, and three crack reporters, Katarina Sestarek, Eastern Iowa reporter for Iowa Public Radio, John O'Connor, correspondent for WNYC, taking a look at what's going on in New Jersey and New York, and Frankie Barnhill, reporter for Boise State Public Radio. Thanks to all three of you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.